Have you ever noticed how people often do that? We can have an earthquake down in Haiti, and people... Thank you for being here tonight. You know, the word why is an interesting word. Have you ever questioned God at all in your mind or in your heart about anything? Have you ever noticed how people often do that? We can have an earthquake down in Haiti, and people say, why did God bring this devastation upon this small country? You know, God gets blamed with more things. Have you ever noticed that? A lot of people often say, well, it was the will of God. Sometimes people can get killed in an automobile accident or maybe a plane crash or maybe victims of a tornado or a fire or whatever. And people say, well, you know, it was the will of God. It may not necessarily be the will of God at all. I want to talk to you tonight about the question, why? You know, we often reflect upon those that we call our terrorists today, people who want to do damage to our country and perhaps hurt innocent people. And by the way, at the Super Bowl, they have made all kind of provision to make sure that that doesn't happen. Well, back during Job's days, the terrorists were those that were called the Sabaeans or the Chaldeans. They were the ones who, ravaged Job and his family and his herds and took everything that he had. Job was a man of God. The book of Job is believed to be the oldest book in all of the Bible. Now, I know if you were to look in the Bible, you'd say, oh no, the book of Genesis is the oldest book. But chronologically speaking, it is believed that the book of Job is the oldest book in all of the Bible. The character Job himself was not of the lineage of Abraham. As a matter of fact, he was a stranger to the covenant promise of God. Job lived somewhere between Arabia and Edom. And we don't really know a whole lot about him, but he lived in a place called Uz. And Job was a man who honored God, however. He believed in that divine and the supreme being we call Jehovah. He prayed to him. As a matter of fact, he often interceded for his children. He prayed to God every day about his family, and that certainly is a great lesson in and of itself. But there was a time in the life of Job when things were going well that all of a sudden calamity came. And Job asked the question, why? And if you will, be turning in your Bibles tonight to the book of Job, chapter 3. Beginning in verse 11, Job said, why did I not from the womb die? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? You see, Job actually believed that he was alive even after having been conceived of his mother. And while he was alive within the womb, he believed that he was an infant. And if you don't believe that to be true, move on over a little bit further in that chapter to verse 16. He said, or as a hidden untimely birth, had I not been as infants which never saw the light. You see, and while he was alive within the womb, he referred to infants that were in their mother's womb. But he's asking this question, why? Why did all of this calamity come to me? And that is an age-old question. Why? Why did God allow that to happen to Job? And why does God allow such calamity to fall upon us? Why do we suffer for evil? In the first chapter of the book of Job in verse 21, even after all of this has come upon him, Job says, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that was big talk for a man who had not been afflicted himself prior to this. The word why in the Greek language, by the way, is not only a question, but it is an accusation. And sometimes that's the way people use it in their language today when they talk about all the calamities that fall man. When they say why, it's not really a why because they indict God with it. They blame God with it. They believe that all the tornadoes, why, even if you were to look at your insurance policy, The insurance policy itself refers to acts of God. If your home were to be struck by lightning, they would call that an act of God, not an act of nature. If your home is blown away in a tornado, they call it an act of God. Or an earthquake occurs, or a hurricane, it's referred to as an act of God. In this particular book, God is silent in the first 37 books. And I think it's interesting. The book of Job itself really is a book of poetry. It is one of the most beautiful poems that have ever been written. This book is divided in three different parts. It is divided, first of all, in what we call the prologue. That is the introduction of the characters in this book. And then you move to what we actually call the dialogue. And that's the conversation that goes on between Job and God throughout. And as a matter of fact, that goes on between chapter 3 and all the way down through chapter 42. And then you have following that in that third part, the part that we call the epilogue. Job was a man, as I said, who believed in God. But his question was, is why am I suffering evil from your hand? And that's an age-old question, it isn't. We've all been there. We've often asked ourselves the question and maybe even asked God, God, why did you do this? Or why did you allow certain things to happen? Job said in Job 42, verse 2 through 6, he says, I know that thou canst do all things and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and I will declare unto you. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. What he's saying here in those last verses of the last chapter of the book of Job is that, you know, who was I to question God? Who am I? Shall the created contend with the creator? And then in chapter 38 and verse 4, God begins to address Job's question. You know what he says? He says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? What God is saying to Job in reality is, who are you to call me on the carpet? Sometimes I really wonder how God really feels about the way we think about him sometimes, and how we really feel about God. Well, there's always that question also, who should we seek when evil comes? A lot of people never think about God. They think about insurance settlements. They think about calling their agent, making sure they're taken care of physically or materially. They never think about perhaps maybe some of the spiritual implications that could be taking place through all this. Now, you have to understand that in this story, the devil had been talking to God about Job, and God had really been bragging about Job, what a great servant he was. And he contended, one of the only conversation that we have between God and Satan in the Bible recorded. But in this story, God says, if you considered my servant Job, why, there's none like him in all of the earth. And the devil begins by saying, well, what you say may be true, but even Job is susceptible to sin. And even Job will deny you under certain conditions. And God allowed Satan to have Job for a period of time. And in the story, you well remember that all that he had, his vestige of prosperity, is suddenly turned into the depths of poverty. He has nothing. His family is gone. And the terrorists have come. And then he begins to question God. Sometimes people do not seek God when adversity comes. They really become mad at God. They become angry with God because certain things happen. It may be the death of a wife or the death of a husband or the death of a young child or a baby, and people begin to blame God for allowing it to happen. I've seen people, and I'm honest with you tonight, I've seen people turn away from the Lord and the church when such things happen. You know what? Those are the things that ought to cause us to turn to God. And many times people in the outside world believe that if that kind of calamity comes upon us, it must be something that we have done to bring it on. And that was what Job's three friends thought. How would you like to have friends like Job had? I mean, these three guys come to Job's home and they immediately begin to say, Job, what have you done? What are you hiding? Job doesn't really declare himself totally innocent of sin, by the way. A lot of people say, well, Job begins to make a defense for himself, and he does. But he does not state that he is totally free from sin. But Job's three friends think that all of these problems that came into his life were a direct result of some sin that he had committed. And what they're doing is trying to get him to repent of something that he's not done. They're saying, why don't you get right with God? Why don't you confess up? Sometimes people run from God. Evil is not a reason to run from God. It is a reason to run to him. And sometimes we ought to look at the bigger picture instead of asking why. We ought to think in terms of what is God trying to tell me here. Job's answer never comes. I think that's the real strange thing about this whole book. And even though God really, I guess you could say, responds to Job's question, he never, ever really answers it. He does not discover the reason why innocent people suffer, and there are a lot of them that do. Today, up in Pennsylvania, there were two men, as a matter of fact, there may be others by now, I don't know, that were killed in a horrible accident at a power plant that was getting ready to open in just a few months. I don't know why that happened. Those men left home this morning, going to work. They died at 11:30. Didn't make it back home to see their children or their mate again. Had no idea it would happen. Every day, people are killed in America. Innocent people, innocent lives, drive-by shooting. And we wonder why. But that answer never, ever came. The furthest Job really ever got with perhaps maybe anything that resembled an answer was the fact that it was all a part of God's plan and that it had to be accepted. God doesn't bring adversity in our life, but God can take it and place it within his plan. And I really think that's what Romans 8:28 says. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. So whatever happens to you in life, there's a purpose behind it. And let me tell you something else I have learned. At some time in your life, you will go through what we call a Job experience. You may have never faced it yet, but it will come. And there will come the time when you too will ask God why. I'm not going to tell you how it's going to come. Can't tell you that tonight. But you can rest assured there will come a time in your life when you will have what we call a Job experience. Now, I think there are three lessons that Job learned through all of this. And one of them was that suffering tests the genuineness of a person's virtue and his faith in God. Do you know, through all of that, Job did not deny God. He didn't. Here's a man, when all of this came early on in the book, in Job 1, he says, the Lord hath given and the Lord takes away. I mean, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says that he did not charge God foolishly. He didn't blame God. His friends were. A lot of other people do, but Job did not. He didn't charge him. He didn't blame God for it. He understood that it came. He didn't know why. And he's asking God. He's asking the Creator about it. But he learned that God perhaps was testing the genuineness of his faith. Sometimes I think God does that. You know, we talk real big sometimes when we're in church or when we're of people of like precious faith, and we talk about how strong we are as Christians. But you know what? I've seen some of those so-called Christians who profess to be strong Christians bow under pressure and give in. And their smile is suddenly turned into a frown. not Job. He said, I know my Redeemer lives and shall stand again at the last day. But he also learned that God was protecting him from pride and made him more humble. God has a way of humbling us when we get to feeling a little bit too proud. I'm not saying it's wrong to take pride in who you are. But to be filled with a false pride is wrong. And God has a way of humbling. That's why I've often said that God raises up leaders in nations and he brings them down. Sometimes people wonder why certain people get elected to office and why kings take over in various countries and prime ministers rise and why they fall. You know why it happens? God does it. He does. God sometimes has a way of reducing us and bringing us down to where we ought to be when we're so filled with pride. He did Herod that way, didn't he? Didn't he do Nebuchadnezzar that way when he made him eat grass like a cow? Herod got to feeling that he was so great and so wonderful, and God reduced him, and he even allowed him to be eaten by worms. But Job learned another lesson. He learned that when suffering comes a person's way, he should not abandon himself completely from God's hands. We need to understand that we are in the hands of God. And whatever happens to us as a child of God, even though we may not understand it, don't question God. Just accept it. And you know what? Try to search for the lesson behind it. What is the lesson that God wants us to learn? The poet one time wrote these words, "Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly will God unveil the canvas and explain the reasons why. For the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned." When Jesus died upon the cross, and I can tell you it was the greatest evil ever perpetrated by mankind, and they crucified him and nailed him to a cross, and it looked like the world had collapsed for those who really believed in God and believed in the ministry of Christ. But through his death upon the cross came the greatest blessing this world has ever known. And that was your salvation and mine. It would have never happened had Jesus not died upon a cross and had the world not carried out the plan of God. Why? We should never question the Creator, but only accept it. There are just some lessons in life, folks, that we may never, ever understand, and we may never, ever grasp this side of eternity. There's so many mysteries of God tonight, mysteries that we'll never, ever be privy to totally understand. But we know that in time or in eternity, then God will reveal. You know, sometimes I think it'll just be so wonderful just to be in the presence of God and look back and God say, you remember when this happened to you, you know, back in 2010, and you wondered why it happened? Let me show you why it happened. Here's why it happened. Or what happened to you back at the turn of the new millennium? Here's why it happened. Do you remember when you got sick on such a, I was protecting you from a greater evil. There's so many things in God's will that we'll never, ever understand. God doesn't ask us to understand it. That's what Job says. He says, I speak of things that I don't understand, knowledge that I do not have, but I trust in you. And that's what we have to do tonight. So whatever we have to go through in life, we just have to hold on to him and trust him. And I hope we'll do that. And if you're here tonight and maybe you've been going through some kind of difficulty in your life and you've been questioning God in your mind, maybe there's some things that have happened in your life and you're wondering why all these things happen, just accept it. You may never, ever know. But somewhere behind all of it, God is going to work it for your good. Paul said the sufferings of this world are not to be compared to the glory that God shall reveal in us. And I'm convinced of it every day. Whatever you go through in life, you may not understand it. Hold on to God. Trust Him. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, David has selected a song of encouragement that we're going to sing here in just a moment to give you an opportunity to respond in a public way to Christ, to give your life to Him and to be baptized for the remission of sin. And if you're here, then tonight certainly would be a good opportunity for you to take advantage of that time. And if you're a Christian and you've strayed from God and you need to come back home, and perhaps maybe you've been questioning God about a lot of things, why not resolve that tonight? And maybe there's some things that are amiss in your life for which you need to repent. And tonight would be the time to do that. We're going to stand and sing that song, and we invite you to come. There's a fellow.